This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Between the grand reopening of the renovated old courthouse last spring and the 60th anniversary of the Gateway Arch's completion this fall, there's been much to celebrate around the Gateway Arch National Park. There's also word that there's more to come, not only with developments downtown right around the arch, but also across the Mississippi River. Plans are underway to expand the park by including part of East St. Louis. Joining us now to discuss that is Ryan McClure, Executive Director of the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So Ryan, before we discuss East St. Louis expansion mm-hmm. plans, let's start with a project right in downtown St. Louis, yeah. the Millennium Hotel.
Sure.
Can you provide us with a picture of what the Millennium Hotel was like, especially in its heyday?
Sure. Well, so the Millennium was built, the first section of it, the tall tower that really defines it, in 1967. So that was, if you think about that time, you know, the arch was just completed in 1965. Bush Stadium, the previous Bush Stadium was completed in 1966, and then you have the Millennium and other developments along that stretch. So from 67, you know, on, I mean, it was a place that a lot of people have memories of. There's a lot of nostalgia for it. People got engaged there. They had their prom there. The winter warm-up for the Cardinals was there. But unfortunately, it closed in 2014. And even before that, the building was deteriorating and wasn't really, you know, didn't have the updates that needed to keep it online. Mm-hmm. So it closed, and it was closed for 11 years before we abandoned for 11 years before we purchased it.
Mm-hmm. Was mostly structural issues or other ones that were affecting, you know, traffic in and out of and people, you know, using the Millennium Hotel?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked to enough people that worked there that in the late 90s, even into the 2000s, they weren't really able to rent out rooms in certain areas of the hotel for various reasons. But we know that once we got in and did investigations, there were mold issues, there was asbestos. All of the systems in the building would have had to be replaced. They dated back to the original building.
Yeah,
so,
60s.
You know, there was so much that would have been done, needed to happen for that to be reused in any way. And the foundation, once we were under contract, we did an RFP process that put it out to developers to say, like, what would you do with this building? And we left the question of adaptive reuse or clean slate open. And all of the responses that we got were for clean slate. The market, the developers were telling us that this is not an adaptive reuse project.
Mm-hmm. The hotel is currently being demolished, and that's a process that began in November, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What kinds of possibilities does this open up for the Arch Park grounds?
The possibilities are immense. If you think about that block from 1967 on, it is basically a super block. So it takes up two city blocks that really causes this physical and psychological barrier between Busch Stadium and the Arch grounds. And when you start with a clean slate and figure out how to reconnect that block, that area to Busch Stadium and the Arch grounds, I mean, the possibilities are immense. And Cordish Companies is the chosen developer for the site. They won the RFP process. They've obviously developed Ballpark Village in partnership with the Cardinals. They have a great plan designed by Lamar Johnson Collaborative that really creates a new skyline-defining structure there. Two structures, in fact, residential and commercial, and then retail space and public space in between. So the possibilities are immense.
Mm-hmm. Before we leave that point, you're mentioning clean slate,
yeah.
adaptive reuse. I mean, these are two ways to approach it.
Yeah.
But the memories that are connected
yeah.
with this structure, there is a project around those memories, right?
Right. The amazing communications team at Gateway Arch Park Foundation has come up with this project where we are collecting memories of the Millennium Hotel, because we know, as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of nostalgia surrounding this building. You know, having the rotating restaurant and having these life defining moments, proms, engagements, weddings. We know that those memories are deep, and we want to acknowledge that and collect those stories so that we can put them out online. But also, there's possibly ways that we can acknowledge those memories and the nostalgia and the history on the site.
Why is that important?
I mean, I think it is important to, again, these are important memories for this community. And so it's important to acknowledge that, but also know that we can move on and we can do new things as a community. And, the arch has defined St. Louis for generations, right? Well, now we can do something that further defines the skyline. It's never going to take away from the arch. That's never what we would want to do. But we can both acknowledge nostalgia and move forward.
What about the visibility of what is happening? There has been a lot going on in downtown St. Mm-hmm. Louis regarding building vacancies, mm-hmm. and the pandemic, I think, really exacerbated mm-hmm. some of that. Businesses have been leaving the downtown area for some time now. Is there something about the visibility of this demolition in this part of downtown that is meaningful for the foundation and the work that it's doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, one, we're really grateful to be in a position to do this work. We could not do it without the support of the community. We exist completely on private donations, the generosity of this community. That's how we do this work. Because of that responsibility, we need to be showing progress for St. Louis. And when you think, as you pointed out, when you drive in on I-44 and come into downtown, the demolition of this structure is evident. You see it. Everybody that's coming into downtown in that direction sees it. Come opening day of Cardinals season, we expect that all of those fans are going to see a crane in the air starting to take that tower down. That is progress. We hope that that gives the community hope and inspiration and a belief that we can do hard things and make big things happen as a community. Mm-hmm. And I hope that kind of inspires folks to think about, how can I be part of this movement? How can I be part of this momentum?
So the demolition today, as we sit in the studio,
yeah.
What stage is it at, and what will replace the Millennium Hotel?
Yeah. So right now we're in the early stages. Spiritus Wrecking Company is doing great work. They're our contractor for demolition. They've done a lot of abatement, so taking out the mold, taking out the asbestos before it can be demolished. So we're still in the early stages, and we expect demolition to last through 2027. Once we get to 2027, we expect that there is potentially a sale to Cordish companies, and they would take over on the construction, which, not that it would start in 2027, but demolition will go through 2027. Once construction starts, what the idea right now is that folks will see a high-rise residential tower on the southern end of the site, a commercial office building, Class A office space in the northern section of it, potentially public space for retail and park space, and then space for the collections and archives potentially of the National Park Service. So, that's what we can look forward to. We chose Cordish because of their reputation of getting things done across the country, not only in St. Louis and Kansas City. They know that they have a redevelopment plan that's been adopted by the city of St. Louis that says this has to be a substantial development, and we wouldn't choose or sell this property to anybody that is going to do something less than that.
Mm-hmm. Generally, Ryan, what do you make of the current state of downtown St. Louis?
Yeah, I see a ton of potential. Look, it's if folks haven't been downtown in a while, now is the time to come down. there is a ton of momentum. And, you know, again, I would say come downtown, experience it, go to, you know, visit the restaurants, come down to the Arch grounds. If you haven't been to the Arch or the old courthouse, in a couple of years, you need to come because it's all different. And the community has stepped up to do something substantial there. Go to Laclede's Landing, see the momentum that's happening there. Everything that's going on at Union Station or Energizer Field and Enterprise Center and everything around that. There are people that are doing the work in downtown. I think about Alex Oliver and everything that he's done on Washington Avenue. This is grounds for belief. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say to folks thinking about downtown. Wherever you live in the region, come down, visit, experience it for yourself.
Specific to Laclede's Landing.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
So, you know, Laclede's Landing is quickly developing into a residential neighborhood. So I think about folks like Munsoxo and the Menges family, Brian and Gretchen, who are doing amazing work redeveloping historic buildings into lofts and apartments. So the Pieper Lofts, that I believe those are almost fully leased, and they've got four more residential buildings coming online. You know, there's a place called the Cobblestone there that's a great place to get sandwiches and coffee, and they've got a grocery store underneath. The folks working there are just doing amazing work. So there are people doing the hard work. Come support them and check it out. We have to have a thriving downtown to be a thriving region.
We'd like to invite you to this conversation. What questions do you have about downtown development related to the Gateway Arch National Park? Are there changes to the Arch Park grounds that you've appreciated? And maybe there are some that you would like to see made. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send email to talk@stlpr.org. And we're speaking today with Ryan McClure, who is the Executive Director of the Gateway Arch Park Foundation. So in recent news, Ryan, the Gateway Arch Park Foundation has shared that it will be conducting some studies on the stretch of the Interstate 44 near the arch grounds. Pardon the pun. What's driving that effort? You know, how would a reworking of Highway 44 help the Gateway Arch Foundation's vision for the arch grounds?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is Gateway Arch Park Foundation is one entity and a whole host of partnerships and public agencies and public-private partnerships that it takes to get things like this done. So when you think about, you know, the I-44 corridor, and there's no getting around it, I-44 between the Mississippi River and the arch grounds and then downtown has separated that area of downtown from itself for over 60 years. So the highway was being built at the same time that the arch was being built. And there are cities around the country that are now kind of healing the wounds of urban planning decisions from the 50s and 60s that where highways kind of took over and separated parts of communities from itself. You know, that's happening in Philadelphia, it's happening in Seattle, it's happening in San Francisco. We have an opportunity to do that in St. Louis when you think about in 15 years, the Poplar Street Bridge, the I-64 double-decker, the elevated lanes next to Laclede's Landing and the Dome, they are going to need substantial interventions. So we need to be taking the opportunity right now to really rethink those and do the studies needed. So our job as a nonprofit that cares about the arch and downtown is working with MoDOT, working with East West Gateway and the city of St. Louis to really think hard about this. And I want to say, like, MoDOT is an incredible agency to work with. They do amazing work in very difficult environments. They're very thoughtful about it. We worked with them on City Arch River. We wouldn't have the park over the highway and the one physical connection that we do have to downtown from the arch without MoDOT. So I cannot say enough good things about them as an agency. And we're so excited to work with them and East West Gateway Council of Governments, with IDOT, and with the city of St. Louis on this project.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that park, that was in 2018, the Arch City River Project put up a walkable cap. or bridge over part of the I-44 to connect the arched grounds to downtown. How much of a model does that provide for what a rework of the I-44 might look like?
I think it provides a running start. And I think we also need to brag on ourselves as a community a bit because, you know, I think St. Louisans have a tendency to be down on our own city, and we have so much to offer. We can brag on what we do well and acknowledge that we have challenges at the same time. We have communities and cities calling us all the time about the Park Over the Highway and the City Arch River Project. The lakefront redevelopment that they're doing in Cleveland, they called us to talk about it. The tunnel tops in San Francisco, they called us to talk about it. And I'm not saying us, Gateway Arch Park Foundation, because the community made that happen. St. Louis made that happen. So it provides a roadmap, puns intended.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a start, but we've got to do more. We still have a large section of downtown that's separated from the river because of that highway.
Mm-hmm. On the point of motorists, because these but like roadways, right? Beyond the arch grounds, then, how might a reworking of I-44 benefit motorists?
You know, I have to be honest that, you know, about where my expertise is. I'm not a traffic engineer. I'm not a highway designer. I don't know. You know, I don't know what that looks like. But the important thing is that we're doing the studies to look at everything, right? And that's where the foundation is raising money right now to fund alternative studies and economic impact studies that would be paired hand in hand with MoDOT's traffic studies that they're going to do downtown with the East-West Gateway and the city of St. Louis. So I don't know what that looks like. All I know is that we need to be looking at all options at our disposal.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to the East St. Louis part.
Sure.
The Gateway Arch Foundation has also recently shared that there are plans to expand the arch grounds across the Mississippi River into East St. Louis. What would that look like in real life?
Yeah. You know, the short answer is we don't know yet. But here's what we do know. Eero Saarinen, when he won the 1947 design competition that gave us the Gateway Arch, his design had this park on both sides of the river. That has always been the intent since 1947. And then in the late 80s and 90s, Congress passed legislation that gave the Park Service legislative authority to expand to Illinois. And then when we held the City Arch River design competition, every designer was tasked with having an Illinois component of this park. This idea has existed for 80 years.
Right. So what happened?
It's, you know, I don't know. But here's what I do know. We've got an opportunity. One, we need to do this. The region deserves it. East St. Louis as a community deserves it. And we have stars aligning and the right players in place to do this. And we would be, it's imperative that we see that through. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of steps that have to happen, and it's going to be really hard. It's going to be difficult. But the things that are most impactful often are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be working with the City of East St. Louis, with Metro East Parks and Recreation Department, St. Clair County, Illinois, to see this happen. Right now, we're working with PGAV planners to come up with a vision about what could happen here. So again, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that we are committed to taking the steps to get there.
Mm-hmm. What has the response been to this?
You know, the response that we've gotten so far is incredibly positive. I mean, and I think we're very early on. Again, we've got to be very thoughtful about this, but if you think about the message that this would send to expand this park that represents our region to the entire world, it is what people know about us, to actually expand it physically, geographically to Illinois, that is such a critical part of the bi-state region in the Metro East. When I think about the message that sends, that's really impactful. So we need to do this.
Mm-hmm. So you're not sure what this is going to look like, but in the in the daydreams, maybe the nighttime dreams of Ryan McClure, you know, what are some of the possibilities that you have in mind? Are there examples from, you know, other parks or places either in the country or around the world that sort of give you some ideas to what it might look like?
Yeah. Well, first, I appreciate the question, but I think the most important thing is not what Ryan McClure wants, but what the community wants, right? So community input is going to be really important to this. But I can tell you broadly, you know, when we think about, you know, areas that are lively and vibrant on both sides of the river, you know, if you've ever been to Cincinnati and you go to the other side into Covington, Kentucky, that's, you know, there's vibrant, there's lots of things going on, and it is truly feels like a connected thing. We can do that. I mean, that may sound like a long way off, but my question would be, why not? So again, I don't know exactly what that looks like, what that park looks like, how people get there, but I think community input and dreaming and thinking big, not holding ourselves back by what we think is possible and what we think is impossible, is really important.
The Malcolm W. Martin Memorial Park,
yeah.
Would that be included in the expansion? And something that I learned when it came to the 60th anniversary of the arch, that the geyser that was there, it doesn't operate any longer,
right.
That the water was supposed to shoot up to the height of the arch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what about the Martin Memorial Park?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is we are very fortunate that Malcolm Martin, the man, had the vision to purchase that land, donate it to Metro East Parks and Recreation Department specifically for the purpose that it would eventually become part of Gateway Arch National Park. I'm not sure that we'd be sitting here talking about this if he hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. So we need to acknowledge the vision and the generosity that took. There is a parcel then just south of Malcolm Martin Park, which, by the way, has been overseen by Metro East Parks and Recreation District for years now, decades, and they've done such a great job. There's a parcel just south of that the city of East St. Louis now owns that was a former industrial site. You know, it needs to be remediated and cleaned up, but we're solving an environmental issue there too. And they're already working with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources on that. So the Gateway Geyser was there for years, and it was meant to shoot 630 feet in the air, very costly to maintain. So, MEPRD made a tough decision, but I think the right decision to kind of shut that down, and then we can really re-envision what this looks like for the future.
So you've mentioned community several times, and that the Gateway Arch Park Foundation is not the only, you know, organizational player involved. But how is it that you will engage the community? How can community members share their input in a very practical way?
Sure. Yeah, I think, again, short answer is we don't know yet, but we are committed to doing that. I mean, community engagement and ideas are really, really important to this. And also setting parameters around that, because if this is going to be a national park, there are certain things that can and can't happen in national parks. There are certain things that can and can't happen on the Mississippi River just because it can rise and fall 40 feet within a year, right? So there's parameters. So we don't want to get folks' hopes up about things that just, you know, aren't possible, right? But you put parameters around that and get community input within those parameters. That's what we did with City Arch Rivers. So there is a model for this. You know, Great Rivers Greenway has done amazing work in our community in this space, both on City Arch River and both on the Brookline Greenway. So that's going to be important, but we're just not at that step quite yet.
In the last 30 seconds, Ryan, why is this a good time to be doing what you're doing?
Well, there's no time like the present. No time like now. Look, you know, all of these things are in different timelines. Some are going to take 15 years. Some could happen in 3 to 5 years, depending on what project that we were talking about. The important thing is that you got to take the steps along the way and be diligent about it, be thoughtful about it. We can't do that without our public partners and without the generosity of the community. Again, we exist purely on philanthropy, so we can't do that without our members and our donors.
Mm-hmm. Ryan McClure is the executive director of the Gateway Arch National Park Foundation. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back to talk with us today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.